On capetalk.co.za, if you go and have a look, you'll be able to find most of the interviews, articles, and all the related issues around what we discuss every single day. And the person at the helm of that, with her team putting up all the stories, is Barbara Friedman. Now, with the new COVID regulations within our very own building, Barbara is on Skype this morning. Barbara, very good morning to you, and welcome again.
Hi, yeah, back to W, working from home. WFH. I had to work that out. It's getting so late in the year, I can't even spell.
I must say, I can't deal with most of these abbreviations
acronyms,
shortening of everything. I kind of just get to, just tell me what it is and that's it. A very sad day today, Barbara, because we've got another school shooting. And what is sad for me is this is a 15-year-old boy that's in custody after three students died.
Right. So this is in Michigan in the United States at a high school called Oxford High School. And it is one of, you know, I mean, I think we've lost count of how many mass shootings have occurred in the U.S. and in schools. In fact, Education Week reports that this shooting is the 28th and deadliest shooting this year alone, which I find absolutely devastating that in America this is happening. And obviously always a lot of outrage about gun laws and gun regulations there. This 15-year-old student who is in custody, apparently his dad bought the 9mm pistol on Black Friday on November the 26th. According to authorities, it was loaded with 7 rounds of ammunition. But what I'm going to refer to, as you've said, 3 students died. There are 8 students, I think, including a teacher, that are on critical care in hospital. There's a video that's gone viral, filmed by a student in one of the classrooms, which I found it's quite chilling. What happens is it seems like the shooter is knocking on the classroom door that they'd locked, asking to come in, posing as a sheriff. And the kids and the teacher in the classroom say, you know, we're not going to let you in. You know, we don't think this sounds like a safe option. And then this particular person on the other side of the door uses the word bro. And the kids say, no, that's a red flag. And they indicate and climb out of the window of the classroom. And they all run through the snow and get to safety. So I just kind of, I mean, you see these kids in the classroom with this guy banging on the door. And they manage to escape. It's just very chilling to watch that. And actually, they stayed so calm.
No.
So that was a happy ending for the children in that classroom, for the young people and the teacher in that classroom. You know, they really kept themselves calm and they got out of there. But unfortunately, as we were saying, 3 young people were killed and several others were injured. Whether this is ever going to change gun laws in America, I have no idea.
We are having a conversation about guns, and we spoke to Gun Free South Africa yesterday. And we are sort of giving a balanced view today because we need to follow up. We can't just give one side of the story.
No,
we'll be following up with the Gun Owners Association at just after 11 o'clock. And this begs the point again, Barbara. Do we really need guns for self-protection? This poor child's father bought the gun on Black Friday, and I think
why wasn't it locked in a gun safe? You know, I don't have any answers to those questions, but you know, how did a teenager have access to a loaded gun?
And when you're 15-year-old, there goes the rest of your life. You know, you're very, very young.
We don't know what lay behind the whole thing, but I'm sure, you know, and I'm sure it was quite, you know, I'm sure it was a tragic story. I mean, I don't think any child of 15, you know, does this for no reason. I mean, there's obviously some psychological issue that leads you to do this.
You know, our kids have been through a difficult time the last 2 years. And
exactly.
I look at my little one, and it's all it is, it's love and compassion. That's what we need.
Sure.
We need love and compassion and understand, and really understand, Barbara, that a number of our children suffer mental health issues. They do.
Very much so.
We overlook it so very quickly. The next story we're going to be covering, and this is also going to go up on capetalk.co.za, which is the Bulito rage. Should this have happened in the first place? Because I hear Regan was mentioning this during the 9:30 news.
And interestingly enough, Bongani Bingwa on 702 interviewed Greg Walsh, who's the CEO of the Rage Festival Group, obviously in the light of the fact that the Rage, Bolito Rage, began last night, Tuesday night. I think they're only allowing 2,000, well, only, I say, 2,000. I would like to be in a big marquee with 2,000 people myself. But they have taken very stringent regulations around the rage. You know, everyone has to come with a negative test. They're going to be testing every day during the event, which is 5 days. I think it ends on Saturday. And they're working with the KZN Health Department. They're meeting every morning at 8 o'clock, says Greg Walsh. But he did say to Bongani Bingwa that a couple of people had arrived and when tested, had tested positive. They were quickly isolated and never entered the venue. But, you know, it does make one wonder, is this really ever going to be a safe space when 2,000 young people with alcohol involved, as Bongani pointed out, you know, where all, you know, everything goes out the window and, you know, impulse control disappears and they're all in this space. I don't know what the answer is. You know, he was saying, Greg Walsh, he said it's very difficult to force young people to have vaccinations unless there's an incentive because young people feel invincible. And I mean, maybe he has a point, you know, maybe having these events, festivals and sports events will encourage younger people to get the vaccine, get vaccinated. Anyway, it's going ahead, yeah, and I suppose a time will tell. I just wanted to add that, you know, NICD published the latest COVID stats for the country, and, you know, positive infections have risen to 4,000 yesterday, to 4,373 new cases. You know, of those, we have no idea how many will turn out to be serious illness. Hopefully the vaccinations will hold that at bay for those that have been vaccinated. But still, you know, even the dailymail.uk posted a headline story about COVID's cases soaring by 403% in a week. I mean, I don't know what the UK stats are, and in capital letters they say it's a 10% positivity rate. How scary. I mean, you know, I think that they are really giving South Africa a bit of a hard time.
You know, for me, for instance, if you're a matriculant and you want to be to have a matric ball and, you know, quite fine, it's a restricted and a very confined situation. But here you have 2,000 or almost 2,000 youngsters with alcohol in a closed environment. And I ask myself, do you actually need to go to a rage?
You know, I don't know.
As a matriculant, do you actually need to go to a rage to go and dance and party and drink for 4 days?
There were no rages when I was in matric. It wasn't a thing back then, back in the old days.
I went to a boys' school. You know how difficult that matric farewell was to find a partner to go.
Zane, how sad. I hope you found one.
No, I actually didn't. We actually just got together and a whole lot of us stood around in the hall and looked quite funny at Chris Boner those many years ago. The governor of Texas tweet has had South Africans gobsmacked, and the responses are totally hilarious with his tweeting. I had a look at some of it, and I found it incredibly just like weird bizarre. And funny and bizarre.
I mean, this is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. So he tweeted out, for those that haven't seen it, he said, he tweeted out, you know, following the Omicron report, Biden banned travel from South Africa because of the new COVID variant. Immigrants have recently been apprehended crossing our border illegally from South Africa. Biden is doing nothing to stop immigrants from South Africa entering illegally. Pure politics and hypocrisy. South Africans, you can imagine, there was one who posted an old caravan going through flooded streets saying, the South African immigrant caravan en route from Bloburg, Cape Town. Get ready, America. And another Twitter user called Sia said, please don't leave me behind. I'm on my way from Saldanha Bay, Port. Boats already departed there. I've just passed Melkbos. And I mean, it was very, very funny because this man seemed oblivious that I think maybe he thought it was South America. But really, I just want to understand how you can become the governor of a state in America and not actually know where South Africa is. But look, that's hardly, you know, unexpected. And you know, someone tweeted sarcastically about building a wall, and everyone from South Africa tweeting, make sure it's high enough, you know, because you never know how many people can swim across the Atlantic just to make it into America. So put on your wetsuits, everyone, and start swimming to America.
When is the boat leaving for you and me?
From Melkbos.
From Melkbos, yes. Barbara Friedman chatting to us this morning. Thanks so much, Barbara. And of course, these stories are all up on capetalk.co.za. Very good morning to you and welcome to the show. I'm Zane Johnson in for Lester Kivett, who's doing pajama drill for the next couple of days. He'll be back on Monday, and the time's just gone 18 minutes to